Praise the name of Jesus.
God bless you, man.
Feels that the time is just to pray and we go home because we've been just so blessed this afternoon. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. I feel so blessed already. I really feel so. And as my sister was speaking, I was wondering, where do I begin now? Because I felt that the aeroplane had already landed. And so bear with me as I warm up the engine so we can take off. But surely we've been in the presence of God. This has really been an awesome presence. Just praising God, lifting his name high, and just listening to him. What a wonderful day it is. Praise the name of Jesus. So this young man wrote this poem, and I'd like to start with this poem before we share the word of God this morning. And probably you know it, so just go along with me. When I lose my way and I forget my name, remind me who I am. In the mirror, all I see is who I don't want to be. Remind me who I am. In the loneliest places where I can't remember what grace is, tell me once again who I am to you. Who am I to you? Tell me lest I forget who I am to you, that I belong to you. When my heart is like a stone and I'm running far from home, remind me who I am. When I can't receive your love, afraid I'll never be enough, remind me who I am. Tell me once again, O Lord, who I am to you. Who am I to you? Tell me lest I forget who I am to you, that I belong to you, that I belong to you. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 30 is a text that we have read and heard so many times. And so I don't want to take you through everything, but we'll probably just gloss through it and remind ourselves, if only you knew who you are. If only you knew who you are. Some of the challenges that you go through, some of the things that we go through on a daily basis, you wouldn't. I posit to you that some of the challenges that we go through, some of the mountains that we have to climb, is because we forget who we are. We forget where we've come from. We forget what we've been anointed to do, and thus we struggle. God said, let us make man, or let us make humankind in our image. And so today, when I look at you, Pastor Julius, when I look at you, Pastor Tony, when I look at you right there, you are all made in the image of God. Hallelujah. When I look at myself in the mirror, my wife sometimes laughs. So when I look at myself in the mirror, I tell myself, Julius, you look good. But today, you look so good. Yeah. Because I'm in the image of God. Yeah. I'm a reflection of God. Yeah. That's what it says. That's what the scripture says in Genesis 1:26. Let us make humankind in according to our likeness. And let them have dominion. Let them have authority over. And I think I've talked about this before, Pastor. You remember when we talked about the first creature, the first creation was given that authority. And he was told, now, these animals are all yours. Name them. You see, God could have named those animals himself. Elephant, giraffe, tigers, leopards, whatever they are, he could have named them. But he says here, and let them have dominion. You cannot have dominion over something you have not named. It has to be mine. So he told them, these are yours, name them. And so this man sits here and he starts calling each one of them by name. And that is where his dominion comes from. And so when you look at yourself today, and I do not by any means trying to demean anybody, I'm just saying what the scripture is saying. If today you're looking at yourself and there are situations that you feel have let you down, if today you're looking at yourself and your bank account doesn't look the way it should, it says here, and let them have dominion. What does dominion really mean then? Have we as humanity, as creatures, redefined what humanity, what dominion means to us? Have we redefined it because we are afraid? See, we are afraid sometimes as Christians to be said, these people, they love money. It is not about loving money. It is taking dominion. There is something about taking dominion and loving money. There is something about pursuing and forgetting the gospel. There is something about pursuing what God has called you to do. And I believe that as Christians, sometimes we put barriers in our lives. We don't want to move forward lest I be labeled. They'll label you anyway. So if you've been called, if you know who you are, I am challenging you to march forward. March for what God has called you to do. And you know what? Two things that you've already marked. The first one is that we are made in the image of God. So, you know, you're already thinking, this guy has no hair. The image of God. Yes. And let them have dominion. That's the second one. Let them have dominion. So you have dominion. There's so many things that God has given you, but it cannot be yours unless you go for it and say, leopard, cow, goat, whatever it is. And then they start coming to you because you have dominion over them. That is the authority that God has given you. And he says, over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the cattle, over the wild animals of the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. That's why when you see those things that you don't want them coming to the house where you pay mortgage, you kill them. Because you have authority of dominion. You guys don't have authority to be here. Go out or you kill them. You step on them. That's the authority and dominion that God has given us. Praise the name of Jesus. God blessed them. And God said to them, this is key. Be fruitful and multiply. What God is actually saying, Pastor, is that continue the work of creation. I have done my part. I have created. Now join me. Co-partner with me and continue creating. And so we are also creators, brethren. So God not only gave us that dominion, not only did he make us in the image of God, but even that nature of God, he imparted it in us. And that's why we are also creators with him. That's why when we consummate, we give birth to children, little people. We don't give birth to cows or give birth to a goat or give birth to something else. Because that's what the scripture is saying. So we are co-creators with God. And when you even take those cows, Pastor, and put them in your in whatever patch that you have, and it gives birth, you're also partnering with God in creation. So, brethren, I'm challenging us that you've been called to something greater than you can even think or imagine, but we only think and perceive in part, and that is the part that we inherit. But I'm challenging you this morning, this afternoon, that you may open your mind and see what God has for you and allow yourself to take what God has given you. Allow yourself to see the kingdoms that God has given you and reach out for it. Oh, this is something so spiritual for some of us today. We can't be able to perceive it. Brethren, open your eyes. Open your understanding to this scripture. It is so simple. It is so simple. I realized as I was going through this scripture that no door can be opened for you unless you knock. You have to go and knock that door. Amen. Secondly, if you go and knock that door and you look so, you know, downcast, you're like, so you open the door, so what do you want? No, I'm not interested. Pop, the door is closed. But knock that door with confidence. Good afternoon, sir. My name is so-and-so, and I'm here to tell you ABCD. I'm interested in this. Come. I need to hear more from this. I need to hear more about you. So the demeanor that we have, the image that we reflect, the way God has created us, if we act the way God wants us to be, I am telling you, a lot of struggles that we go through would be far gone from us. In verse 29, God says, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. It appears to me then that what God did is that he creates or molds this earth. And then on that earth he puts his creatures headed by this one called human and says, you will be in charge. So what indeed he's saying is that you and I are in charge of this earth. The problem then is that we start getting in charge of over each other. But you've got to take your position because you need to redefine that as a child of God. Because we are higher than that. Isn't what the Bible says in Psalms chapter 8 that you've been made a little lower than angels. Just a little lower than angels. You could have been an angel, but just a little lower than angels. It means then that you have some power and authority that is not common. There are some things that you can do and say that is not common. There are some possessions that you can actually possess that are not common. And people will be wondering, how is this happening? Because you have taken the authority that God has given you. The dominion that God has given you, you have possessed it and said, this is mine. In Isaiah 43, Prophet Isaiah says, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. This is God talking to his creatures, his creation. I see that you're fearful. I see that you're afraid. I see you are under torment. But do not fear, for I, your creator, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. See, that's very interesting. That in the multitude of all this creation, humanity, over 6 billion people, that he calls one, Jerry. He calls one, Patel. He calls another one, Isaac. He knows them by name. He calls us, he identifies and says, I can see one that is troubled. I can see one that is in pain. He says, do not fear. I have redeemed you. I got your back. I have redeemed you. I got your back. And then he goes on to say, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. I will protect you. I will protect you. Why? Because in the beginning he says, let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness. I will protect that which I create. In Deuteronomy 31 verse 8, it says, it is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. You know, the biggest challenge that we have, children of God, in this world is not when you encounter a lion on the streets or when you see a serpent crossing the path. The greatest fear we have is of one another. The greatest fear we have is of one another. We fear that if I open up to you, Pastor Tony, that you're going to speak my business. I fear that if I tell you what I'm doing, that you're going to share my secrets with somebody else. I fear that if somebody knows what I'm going through, that I'm going to be embarrassed when they talk about me. I fear people more than I fear even God himself.
Come on.
Isn't it true that there is one who sees through the heart? And you, fellow humans like me, you only see the shell that is here, but you can't see anything that is beyond. I can come right here and be an actor and just do all the drama that you want to see. And you say, surely there is a man of God. But you don't know what lies inside there. How about fearing that one who sees the heart of man? How about him who sees that inside, that part of the heart that nobody can see? Deuteronomy says, it is the Lord who goes before you. You should not fear anything. You know, bold, make yourself bold. Rise up in the morning, rise up with boldness, and God, knowing that nobody is going to hurt you or harm you in any way, because you are human, made in the image of God, and you have the power to create. You have that power to create. You have been given dominion and authority. Walk, you know, like somebody who knows where he's going. You are not afraid of anything. The psalmist says, what can man do to me anyway? And then somebody says, he'll kill the soul. Only that? He can only kill the body. He can only kill the body. He can't kill the soul. Then that's nothing. That's nothing to me. So I will walk with confidence. I will walk with boldness. After all, what can man do to me? After all, what can man do to me? Nothing. Nothing. I am made in the image of God. And that is the reflection that I want to see. When I look at myself in the mirror in the morning, and I look at myself and say, come on, that person looks exactly like God. When I smile, that's a God smile. I'm not exaggerating. I just like me. Because it's the image of God, and I love God. So the person I see there, I gotta love that person. Praise the name of Jesus. So God did not just create creation to dump them on planet Earth. See, if you read the Genesis 1:26 and Genesis chapter 2, they are from two different perspectives. One of them is from the Elohim, the Judaists, and the others are from the preachers. They also experience what happened. So the report is different, but it all culminates to the same thing. But what happens though is that if you look at the way they have been presented, it's very systematic. It's very orderly. God does not create man first and then provides for him. God creates, first of all, the environment. He makes the earth, the water, the sky, the night, separates the day and the night, and says, what else will man need? Oh, let's put vegetation there, pop, and it's right there. And then he looks at man. What will Julius require when he goes to there? Let's put some animals there. What else would he need? Everything is provided. And then finally he says, now let us make Julius. We have provided everything for him. Everything is there ready for him. You know, people of God, and I love that testimony my sister has given, coming from moving from one state to the other, not knowing what God is going to create for you. And this message is just perfect. Because there comes a time, beloved, when God sends you to a place not knowing what you're going to encounter. Not knowing what you're going to encounter. But He's already provided for you in advance. He's already worked it out for you in advance. You have no clue. You have no idea what is going to happen. You just show up and God shows up. That sounds spiritual for some of us, but I understand, because some things are hard. Some of us, you know, we like preparing and planning and making sure that I have dotted the I's. Sometimes it's just not possible. Just show up. When God says it's time to move, then I think it's time to move. Because when God has already provided for you, He is systematic. He does everything in an orderly way, and He will not send you to a place before He provides. Oh no, unless you went out of your way. But God will always work something so systematically for you. And so it is the Lord who will go before you. Before you go where you are going, God is already there.
That's right.
Let's break it down. You know, before you even go looking for that job, God is already there.
Yeah.
God is already there and said, yeah, this is the guy I was talking to you about. Yeah, this is the young lady I was talking to you about.
Yeah.
He has already gone ahead of you. But here's the thing though. In Jeremiah 29:11, the Bible says that I have good plans for you. Plans to give you a future and plans to give you a hope. And that's all good. That sounds all good. But the question is, then how come that my future is not as bright? How come that, you know, so-and-so is doing better than I am doing? The other part that we know, it's common sense application, is that you've got to cooperate with God.
Amen.
I have a plan for you, says the Lord. A plan for good. A plan to give you a future. A plan to give you a hope. But how come that Pastor Tony is doing better than I am? How come Pastor Julius is doing better than me? Cooperate with God. It means then that as you do what you're doing, you got to wake up in the morning like everybody else and do some work. It means that you're not going to be sleeping on your bed and saying, I know that God has a good plan for me. I know He does. It's a good plan. It's to give me a future. Now, you got to wake up, my brother. You got to wake up, my sister. You got to do the hard work. Sometimes it means writing those letters. Sometimes it means rewriting those resumes. Sometimes it means pressing those clothes to be better. I don't know what it means to you, but you've got to wake up. You just can't sleep every day or just keep on saying or coming to a prayer meeting every day and you're not waking up and cooperating with God and telling yourself, it is time for me to move. This is my time. I know the plans that are for you, but I've got to cooperate with God. You have to cooperate with God. Even a farmer prays for a good season, but the farmer wakes up, denies himself of that seed. Says, I could have, you know, used this seed for my family. We could have used this corn for my family. But if we use this corn now, what are we going to harvest tomorrow? He says, family, please understand. We will struggle, but for a moment. Let's use this corn in the farm. Because peradventure, when this yield comes, we'll get even a bigger yield than the crop that we are planting in today. Praise the name of Jesus. I know the plans that I have for you, but you have to cooperate with God. Let me break it down a little bit. Many of us are employed here, and there are so many benefits that you get from your employer. So many benefits. But some of us will sit back and say, no, this is not for me. This, I can't take this. Some of them, it's actually free money. Some of them is actually free money. You know, your employer says, you know, put a dollar, I'll put a dollar for you. So sometimes the employer says, put a dollar for your insurance, or take the insurance, and I'm going to be putting 50 cents for you. Something as simple as that, I say, oh, well, no, I never get sick. I have a plan for you, but you have to cooperate. You have to cooperate. I met a friend of mine who is, you know, from a different country. A very young girl, she just graduated, she's going to Stanford. And she said that, you know, she doesn't believe in investment. I said, what? Yeah, I don't believe in investment. So what do you believe in? I believe in working. So she's from a nation which basically believe in working. So you just want to keep on generating revenue for yourself, but you never want to invest anything? Yeah. And there was no, I decided, the way I looked at her, I thought, this one, I will not convince her of anything. Just leave her. I said, that's good for you. I believe in investing, and I invest heavily. But the Bible says, I know the plans that I have for you, and those plans are for your good, not for your evil, and they're to give you a future now. But cooperate with God. Wake up in the morning. Research. Go and find out what is this that God has laid out for me. What can work for me right here? And go for it. Don't sit back. I actually read an article yesterday in the evening, and it says that a good investor or a good planner does not wait to be told what to do. They research for themselves. Because this information is available to everybody. To everybody. All humans, they can be able to read that. It is available. But the one who succeeds is the one who reads and says, you know, I'm going to do this. But somebody else will read and say, not for me. It's up to you. I know the plans that I have for you. So those plans are for your good. And that's where you find people prospering and others not prospering. You find somebody, you know, something happens to a family and they're able to come up really quickly. And another one, something, the same thing happens to a family and it doesn't happen as fast. Because there's one person who has known how to cooperate with God. And another one has said, no, this one doesn't happen for me. This one, I'm okay with it. Now you're so quiet on me and that's okay. Now, each one of us has a purpose. Each one of us has a purpose. We are not here by just to be like a bee. Even a bee, when it flies, it's looking for a petal somewhere. So we're not just aimless people. We are people of purpose. I'm a man of purpose. There are women of purpose, children of purpose. We all have a purpose. The purpose of a pen is to write. The purpose of a car is transportation. The purpose of a house is shelter. What is your purpose? So up to now, up to this moment, have you fulfilled your purpose? Or how much of your purpose have you fulfilled? When you look back and say, I'm going to take inventory of my life. I'm going to take inventory of my purpose. What can you say about yourself? As we navigate through life, you're not alone. God does not abandon us. His presence walks with us. When we are overcome and unclear, God speaks to us in our spirits, in meetings like this, in fellowships, as we fellowship with one another. And that's why Paul says, do not neglect fellowship as is the habit of some. Because it is when we are fellowshipping with one another that the Spirit of God indulges in us, speaks to us, whispers something to us. And where we were stuck in our life, where we are stuck in not knowing whether this is my purpose, somebody injects you and says, that helps me. You may not tell that person that time, but as you go, you say, that was worth it. Because that's what we were created to be influencers of one another. Not just to be dead sea Christians, where all the benefit is to me and you just grow fat until you want to explode. You're supposed to be an influencer, that I'm influencing somebody in my life. When I have a moment with Pastor Tony, that it is not just empty rhetoric that we are talking about. That there is something that I'll get from him. That there is something I'll get from him. That there is something I'll get from Christine. There is something I'll get from Jimmy. Do not neglect fellowship. Let us meet with one another. Let us fellowship. Let's go for meetings. Let's go for prayer meetings. Let's go for Bible studies. There is something you will get. Now show me somebody who doesn't go to all these meetings, and I'll show you somebody who is struggling in one way or another. Show me somebody who goes to those meetings, and I'll show you somebody who has a lot of information and is just planning how to apply those things in their lives. In Joshua chapter 1, the Bible says, and I'll read, this is a long text, it's 7 verses, so bear with me. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, my servant Moses is dead. Now proceed to cross the Jordan, you and all these people, into the land that I'm giving to them, to the Israelites. Verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you. As I promised to Moses, from the wilderness and the Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land that Hittites to the great sea in the west shall be your territory. No one shall be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Verse 6, be strong and courageous, for you shall put these people in possession of the land that I swore to their ancestors to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to act in accordance with all the law that my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left hand, so that you may be successful wherever you go. The plan that God has for you, no matter how long it takes, it shall come to pass. No matter how long it takes, it shall come to pass. And he's not going to keep you in the wilderness. He's going to keep you so busy. He's going to keep you so productive. So as you move on, you're productive. You're not idle wondering, oh, what shall we do here? Oh, why are we in this place? He's going to keep you so busy, so productive. So some of us right now, we are in that place. We are in that place where we are just moving and you feel like you're in the same place. But the plan of God is still in motion. The plan of God is still in motion. That time is coming and you will see the results. Praise the name of Jesus. Don't get weary. Don't get tired. Don't give up. Keep on moving. Keep on moving. Just don't lay back and sleep and say, you know, my time is gone, you know, or the plan of God is going to come upon me. No. Wake up and keep on doing what you're doing. Is it laborious? Yes, it is. Is it tiring? Yes, it is. Does it pay as well? No, it doesn't. But keep on doing it anyway. Keep on doing it. Something is going to come out of it. After all, even when the farmer plants, it's not every seed that comes from the ground that yields a crop. It's not every one of them. Some die. Some of them die and nothing comes out. But let me tell you, of every seed that the farmer plants, this is a good one. Of every seed that the farmer plants, it comes out more than one-fold, more than the seed itself. There is no way you can plant a corn and you just get that one corn. At least you'll get the cob. Even if that cob has like just 100, at least it's more than the seed you planted. Don't get tired, beloved. Don't get tired, dear ones. Let's keep on doing. And let me tell you, this race is not for everybody. Everybody's running a different race. My race is different. I probably started a little earlier than some of you. Maybe the light came to me a little earlier than some of you. Maybe it came a little later than some of you. So we are all running the race, different timings, but we will all finish the race. We will all finish the race. Don't look at where I am. I don't want to look at where you are, my brother John. I know you're probably ahead of me. I know you know so many sacrifices that you've made, but I'll keep on running my race. I'll keep on running on. And I will not give up because I know that the plan that God has for me is not to be in bed, is to keep on being in motion. And I know that I will reach somewhere. I may not reach where you are, but I know I'm in the race. Praise the name of Jesus. There is something that God has for you. But the question, beloved, is that then do you know who you are? Because if you don't know who you are, even that race, you'll not be in that race. You will not be in that race. Because you've probably given up and said, I can't do this. This is just too much. There are people who have given up on God. They say, you know, maybe it's a road accident. Somebody had a car crash and said, I'm done. I've trusted God all these years and now this, I'm done. I cannot trust God anymore. Maybe an issue happened in the family and you say, this is it. I can't trust God anymore. This is not right. Maybe it is a business transactions that you had, or you had invested some money and everything came crashing down and you lost a lot of money. And you're looking back and say, where is God in all this? And you're frustrated and you say, this is it. I'm so done with this. And your faith has been tested. Then I am so sorry if you're one of them. Because then it just looks that you are trying to identify who you really are. Because if you truly know who you are, then go back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, that you've been created in the image of God. Yes, there will be mistakes. There are some times when we pursue after our own passions. And sometimes we make those mistakes. But you pick ourselves up and you say, that's one thing I know not to do. And you move on. But you cannot stay in the same place. The fact that something, a catastrophe happened, doesn't change my view about God. It doesn't change my view about God. God still remains God and He still remains sovereign. He is the creator. He is the one who transmitted and made me to be a co-creator with God because I cooperated with God. So when I put seeds in the ground, I'm cooperating with God to bring more seed. When I'm putting some money in the bank, I'm cooperating with God so that there can be some more yield. When I'm putting some goats in the pen, I'm cooperating with God so there can be more goats. When I'm putting some vegetables in the backyard, I'm cooperating with God so there can be more vegetation. We need to cooperate with God and we need to identify who we are. And the most important thing that we need to realize who we are is the power that is behind you. I'll repeat this because I know I've said this before. When you go, now this country is different. In our country, the policeman does not come from behind. See, the policeman here, he just flashes you from behind and you, from your driving mirror, you say, oh, okay, I'm in trouble. And you stop. But still it works. In our country, you are driving and you meet a policeman there and he stands on the road and he puts his hand up like this. And there is one thing you know. You cannot pass. The same authority, that person, when he stands up and puts that hand like this, he's saying that I am standing behind the authority of the government of Kenya. When that policeman flashes that light behind you, he says, I am using the authority of the government of Texas or the United States of America. You will stop. If you don't stop, there are consequences. If you don't stop, there are consequences. Beloved, you have authority. There are some places that you need to go and lift your hand up and say, this is it. This is it. Enough of this. And there are some places you need to realize that there is a power that is within you that is in Genesis 1, 26, 29 that it is burning in you that needs to be released. Time has passed, beloved. How long are we going to continue being in the same situation over and over again, listening to the same message over and over again and not getting out of where we are? Don't you think it is time that we decided, you know, this is my life. I am going to do something about it. It bothers me that this is not working out. It bothers me that this is not working. But I know what I'm supposed to do. But I just can't do it. Come on, brothers and sisters. It is time to rise up. That authority. Let's use that authority that God has given us. As a child of God, to cooperate with God. Because when you raise your hand, when you speak those words, like my sister was saying earlier on, and so be it. You speak words, prophetic words over your life. And you say, so be it. You're using the authority that is behind you, the authority of the kingdom of God. Ah, some of you just missed that one. When you speak words that are prophetic over your life, they're just not empty rhetorics. They're not just empty words. Amen. They're words that you're using, and you're blending that with the authority from above. Amen. It can't get any simpler than that. So you pray you have been carrying burdens all your life. And you know, problems with burdens, it is hard to let them go unless you speak out. There are some things that I've realized that we carry them in our lives, but you cannot be able to remove those things from your life until you speak to somebody, until you share them out. But again, we have fear, Pastor. We have fear because I'm fearing if I go and tell my brother or my sister or my pastor what the challenges that I'm going through, I'm fearing that you know, they'll speak about me. I'm fearing that they'll shame me. I'll be judged. I'm fearing. But Deuteronomy says, do not fear. God will go ahead of you. Yes. See, there is a reason why we human beings are not like cows. There is a reason why we Christians are not like goats or those wild animals. There is a reason why we have to fellowship. Have you ever gone to a fellowship of cows?
No.
That they're having, let's praise the Lord now.
They graze.
But as Christians, as human beings, we need one another.
Amen.
We need one another. Impartation, to make an impact in my life, is not just when I'm trying to talk about a business or trying to prosper or that kind of thing. No, that is basic actually. That is so elementary. The most important one, my brother, my sister, is when you come and speak over my life and my spirituality, my spiritual life is jacked up. So where I was feeling that I'm having some issues in my life, you come and you jack me up and I realize, oh my goodness, I just learned something I didn't know. I realize, oh my goodness, I just realized there is a relationship, that my relationship with God needs to be deeper than that. When I have a relationship with brethren, it means that I have to open up to them. They have to open up to me. That is part of creation. Because when we fellowship with one another, you invest in me, I invest in you, so now I am richer than what I was before. We need to invest in one another. We need to encourage one another. I need somebody who can look at me and come and tell me, Julius, are you going through something? Are you okay? Because you know me so well. Instead of, you know, somebody just looking at me and says, you know, it's, you know, mambo sawa sawa, you know, everything is okay. I want somebody who can come and look at me and say, you know, brother, let's pray together. It looks like you're going through something. I don't know what. You don't have to share with me if you don't want to. But let's pray together. What is our purpose as a human being? You as an individual. Not you as a spouse or a father, a grandfather, or whatever. You as one person. What is your purpose? I was thinking about how sometimes we may be homed. We have homes. We have shelters. But then when you look around, you know, we see, you know, people panhandling because they're homeless, looking for something. And then we forget ourselves that also there are times that that shelter means nothing to us. That physical shelter means nothing to us because we are so empty in our lives. And more than anything else, we should remember, or we should remind ourselves, that even those cattle upon a thousand hills, they belong to our Creator. The Creator that I have been made to be a co-creator with. And so if I've been made to be a co-creator with God, then there are some challenges that I should not be going through. Do you agree with what I'm saying? There are some challenges that we should not be going through. You're a co-creator with God. You believe it. You receive it. Then there are some challenges we shouldn't be going through. We are past that. We are already past that. But unfortunately, God's creation continues to suffer. Because, you know, we humanity is humanity. We falter, we fail, and some fail and they wake up immediately and they move on. But some fail and they, you know, stay there in the mud and they say, "Oh, I failed, I'll never make it again," you know. But then Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls." You will find rest for your souls. I'm a testimony that there is rest for your souls in the hand of Jesus Christ. I believe with all my heart. And today, I don't know how many of us have toiled so much in our souls. Our souls are so tormented with the weights that we carry that we can carry them anymore. And you know what happens, Pastor? Sometimes when things are not working for us, we blame everything around us. We'll blame the fly that is flying in. The mosquitoes will blame for everything. We'll blame the Texas drivers. Yeah, they drive carelessly. I'll blame the pastor doesn't even preach well. I'll blame the worship doesn't do well. I'll blame the keyboard wasn't playing well. I will blame everything possible than myself. Than myself to come and say, "Hold on, what is the problem?" And the problem is me. That I need to deal with the issues in my life. I need to go back to Matthew 11:28. My soul is so heavy laden. My soul is so heavy laden. I can hardly walk with the weight on my shoulders anymore. It is not about the pastor. And I have not been paid to say this. ECC didn't pay me to come and share this message. It is not about ECC. Whether the church is going to have 100 members, pastor or not. It is not about that. It is about me. This is that part where I matter. As an individual. Because when that roller coaster is... what is it called? The register is going to be called in the heavens. They are not going to be saying, "All ECC members come here." No. It's going to be Julius Mwangi, "I'm here." And so I must work diligently of anything that matters to me. Anything that is troubling me. Anything that is making me to be heavy laden. Anything that is a barrier between me and my God. I got to work it out. And when I work it out, I'll find rest for my soul. And so it is not about the church. It is not about the worship. It is not about the parking spot. It is not about the church being hot today. It's not about whether there's going to be refreshment or not. It is about me. What is my relationship with my master this morning? What is my relationship with God today? And then I'll find rest for my soul. When I find rest for my soul, it doesn't matter what is going around about me. And that is when I'll have found out who I am. When I find out who I really am, the things of this world, they don't bother me anymore. When I really know who I am, the things that surround me, they don't matter to me anymore. Are you getting blessed? Amen. So, in almost every Bible study that we've had in our cell group, this is for those in our cell group, so you know what I'm talking about. Pastor Tony always talks about this man, and he mispronounces it. And this man, pastor, his name is not Mephibosheth, it is Mephibosheth. He keeps getting it in reverse. But anyway, he loves this man. So I'll share a little bit about this man called Mephibosheth. The name, first of all, Mephibosheth means an idol breaker. Mephibosheth was lame. As a little child, he was accidentally dropped by the nurse as she was carrying him and running away from pursuers or from attackers. And he was only 5 years old when his father and grandfather were killed in battle with the Philistines at Mount Gilboa. He lived in a place called Lodibar. Yeah. Lodibar means no pasture, no word, no communication, a place of nothingness. The only thing you can find in Lodibar is nothing. His father was Jonathan, son of King Saul. He lived in poverty and in fear, yet he was from a royal family. Mephibosheth did not know who he was. I have a feeling this afternoon I am speaking to Mephibosheths who have faced calamities, who life has not been very kind to, but you've ran away to a place of nothingness. All that you are doing is surviving one day at a time. One day at a time. But I have good news for you. The best thing about being where you are is that God is there too. There may be nothing, but God is right there. I plead with you that you may find out who you really are. And the first thing that you need to find out, what saves Mephibosheth was when he realized, "Oh, I am royalty. I am royalty. I'm a child of a king." And today, brothers and sisters, We are all children of the King. We don't have to keep struggling with the way we're struggling. And even if I have to struggle, I'm going to struggle in peace. I'm not going to struggle complaining. I'm going to struggle knowing, you know, He has my back. These things are going to work out. These things are going to be fine. Everything's going to be okay. Because He says so, it is so. He has assured me that He will go ahead of me. He has assured me that he'll pursue my enemies. He has assured me that He's my protector. He has assured me that even in the place where there is going to be floods, that it shall not affect me in any way. I am covered, people. And that's the word that I'm offering to you today. It does not matter what you are going through. Know yourself. It doesn't matter how many businesses have collapsed. It doesn't matter how much money you have lost. All that I'm telling you, that place you are of nothingness and feeling so lost and feeling so alone, it is okay. God is right there. And when God is right there, He will lift you up. Find yourself. Find yourself and tell yourself, you know, I need to wake up from here. After you've stopped mourning about losing your money, after you stopped mourning about that illness, after you stopped mourning about that situation, then rise up and tell yourself, after all, I'm royalty. And move back. Quickly, look at the prodigal son. Did what he did. Went there, lost all his money. But there is one thing he realized. I'm still a child of my father. I shall go back. I shall go back. I'm challenging you. Don't stay where you are at. Whether it is in your spiritual life, whether it is in your business life, whether it is in your marital life, wherever you are, don't stay there. Move on. Realize where you are and tell yourself, after all, I'm royalty. You are a child of King. Praise the name of Jesus. One more thing that I'd like to just share with you. That when I lose my way and I forget my name because of the issues that I've faced in life, remind me who I am, oh God. Remind me who I am. Because many times, children of God, we forget who we are. But let that be our prayer today. Let that be our song tomorrow. Let it be our song the rest of our lives. Oh God, when I have forgotten, when I have faced life's calamities, remind me who I am. Tell me once again. Because you'll be told and you'll forget because you are moving on. You'll be reminded that you're a royalty, you're a child of a king, but tomorrow you'll forget. Tell God, remind me who I am again. God, remind me again. Who am I again? Just tell me. You're a child of a king. You're a child of the king. And the struggles that you're going through right now, they are nothing. If you remember, if you know who you are. Let's rise up, shall we? I'm asking you to have a moment of just reflection in your life. I believe that each one of us that has heard me has faced life the odd way, and there's a challenge in your life. And I'm just inviting you to have a reflection about those things and try to identify who you are. Who are you? Do you know who you are? God has provided everything for you. He has provided everything for you. Where are you? Where are you?
All on me, anointing. All on me, let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing fall on me.
Even as we ask the Holy Spirit to come and the anointing to fall upon us, let's look at ourselves today as we have had that powerful message. That the Lord may put a new anointing, a fresh anointing, that we may have the revelation of who we are. That we are co-creators with God. That we are created in His own image. And that He has given us dominion over every living thing on earth. That is the position that God has given us today. Even as we ask the Lord that his anointing may fall upon us. Let us just look at ourselves and say, Lord, may this revelation come true in my life today, that I will be able to face life situations knowing that God is with me and that he will give me the strength, the power to go through what I'm going through and to do that which he has called us to do. Anointing
fall on me. Oh, anointing fall on me. Let the power of
the Holy Ghost
fall.
We receive this revelation this morning. Lord, that you created us in your own image, in your likeness, that we may operate in this world under the power of God. That we are not alone. You have given us empowerment to be who we are today, to have dominion, and to do anything that, Lord, we aspire to do through the power of God. Thank you, Jesus. We now know who we are. Appreciate you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for ministering to us this morning. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's give a mighty clap to the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Wow.